Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Good morning. I'm so glad heaven is a real place. Amen. Amen. It's an honor to be here. I surely am always blessed to be able to share the Word of God. It is true and authentic, and it is His Spirit living and speaking and dwelling among us. The late Bob Hope said, "Today my heart beat 103,000 times. My blood traveled 168 million miles. I breathed 23,400 times. I inhaled 438 cubic feet of air. I gave off 85.3 degrees of heat. I generated 450 tons of energy. I spoke 4,800 words, moved 750 major muscles, used 7 billion brain cells. No wonder I am tired all the time." You see, we are a living marvel. We are complex. We are beautifully and wonderfully made by a magnificent creator, the greatest scientist that has ever been. He knows us through and through, every detail from head to toe. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, which is my favorite psalm, it's often referred to as the most excellent of all the psalms. It speaks of an almighty God. It speaks of an ever-present God. And it speaks of an all-knowing God. And all that I am wonderful with, but I'll tell you what's the best part for me. In the midst of all His amazing attributes, He is a very personal God. That pulls me in. You know, I believe that God thinks about little old me. And I believe with everything that I am that He directs my path and He helps me in things that I don't even know is going to happen yet. And God does the same for Him. Yes, I would be impressed with all that He can do. But what will always pull me in is the personal God that He is. That song said, "I will forever be His." Forever. Just by me saying yes. This magnificent God longs to have a relationship with you and I. I want to read just the first six verses of Psalm 139. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. You hem in me behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." The Hebrew word for search means to dig in. That means that God isn't just content with knowing a little bit about you, knowing your favorite things. He's just going to dig right in. Why you act the way you act, why you think the way you act, why anything about you. He is searching and He is knowing. There has never been a time where God didn't know you. Isn't that amazing? There has never been a time before the foundation of the earth, God knew you and he knew me, and it was all a part of his magnificent plan. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't, "Here will be another kid." It's, "She's mine, and here we go. We're going to start on making her. And we're going to start on making you." God knows what we do. Yikes. You know, sometimes I don't know how I feel about this. I'm going to be honest with you. The school I work at, we have cameras at every inch of the building. We see kids all the time. We see adults all the time. And sometimes when you have to say, "Hey, did you push him at your locker?" "No, I didn't do that." You say, "You know it's on the camera." "Okay, I did." Because all we can do is pull it up and back it up, and there you shoved, and please don't shove people. You know, God has always been watching our every move. Nothing comes against him. And the beauty of that is when you feel like maybe somebody shoved you at your locker, God already knows. You don't even have to come and say, "God, this hurt. I know. I knew today that you would be hurt." That's what God is. "Now come here and just tell me all about it. And just kind of collapse in my arms because I knew it was coming. And I made this comforting thing for you before you even knew that you were going to be hurt." God knows what we do. Do we look up in our daily life? I think we're pretty good at coming together in his house and saying, "Here I am, God. Show me. Let me see you." But tomorrow morning, when our everyday activities start in place, are we looking up? God, do you have something in mind for today? You know, you might be waiting in a line somewhere, and somebody behind you might need just a kind word spoken to them. Did you know that? When you're being impatient, and when I'm being impatient in that line, God wants us to look up because he's already planning our daily activities. My youngest son, one time, we're buying groceries, and a lady didn't look like she felt good. She had a cane. She had two little ones that weren't making it the easiest situation. And I remember thinking, how on earth is she going to get those groceries loaded in her car with whatever she's been through? And the kids were kind of getting on her nerves, and so I tried to intervene and say, "Oh, your kids are so cute. Tell me about them." And we put our groceries in, and I felt like God said in my heart, "Go help her." And I said, "Jared, we're going to go in, and we're going to load those groceries up at the place and in the car." And that's what we did. We loaded up, and she cried. You think, well, all it was buying groceries. Well, when you don't have your health, buying groceries is quite a feat. And she turned from this person that was just very agitated to this thankful person. And Jared was so proud that he had loaded those groceries. And I said, "Jared, we just need to pray for her." So when you're going about your daily activities, okay, look up and say, "God, what might you have me do today? What might you have me do today?" God sees all. God sees all. Do you know in John chapter 9, when the disciples walked by and they saw the blind man and they said, "Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents, so that he's blind?" Don't that sound really churchy? They didn't care at all about the blind man. "Teach us this lesson, Jesus, who sinned?" Jesus said, "Oh, the glory of God is coming his way." Jesus saw the blind man. He wasn't a theological lesson to be learned. He was a person who was blind, and Jesus was going to give him his sight. Church, when we are walking along, don't see things as that. See the person. see the person maybe in a different light than you ever have before, because that's what God is. We have a God who knows and cares about everything. I was taught this as a child, and so it was easy for me to ask, God, help me with this. Well, someone says, that's too small of a task. Not with my God. My God wants to hear about my day and what I have to talk about him. Matthew 10:30 says the hairs on our head are numbered. Okay, this isn't just a one-time count thing. This changes all the time. You know, I wonder if he says, Gabriel, minus 5 hairs there. She washed it. No, it's a personal, everyday sort of thing. That he just knows because he's all-knowing. He knows what we think. It said we have 10,000 thoughts a day. Did you catch that? 10,000 thoughts a day. Now, forgive me for a minute, but I have taught eighth graders for a very long time, and on some days, they don't have 10,000 thoughts. They just sort of stare. Are you with me? Come on. That's a lot of thoughts we have, and God knows them. A.W. Tozer says, our thoughts not only reveal what we are, they predict what we will become. We will soon be the sum total of our thoughts. God even knows why we think the way we think. Whys are important to me. You know, when I go to the doctor and she says, I would like you to be put on this medication, I go home and I research it. I read everything I can about it. Or when someone says, did you know this happened? I'll go and research it. Whys matter to me, and whys matter to God. Now, that just doesn't mean we're going to get all of our whys answered. Scripture tells us, now we know in part, then we will fully know, hallelujah, in his presence, fully knowing. Wow, wow, wow. Lost track, got so excited on that. The wise matter to God. He has this wonderful, perfect understanding of you and understanding of me. Have you ever been upset and you're crying and somebody says, what's wrong? I don't even know. Anybody ever been there? How about this? God knows. Because he has this wonderful comprehension and understanding. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. Now, that's kind of important. I'm kind of known, me and my mom kind of switch our words around sometimes, if anyone knows us. How we preach is totally a God thing because, trust me, how we speak sometimes isn't like that. I said one time to, I was kind of scolding, we were on vacation and my kids were like 10, 14, and 18, and you know how big ones kind of pick on the little ones sometimes. And I said, hey, I heard that. They were picking on Jared. And they said, we didn't say that. And I said, I heard you with my own two eyes. We laughed. The scolding didn't work. One time I was in that first, I've had two professions. I've had years where I've been in full-time ministry. I've had years where I've been teaching full-time. I have years when I've done both. But it was the first week of school, and Ash was in college, and I said, turn off all the lights, boys, and line up by the garage for church. And they were like, Mom, we don't have to line up. Sorry, I was in school mode, where you have to line up for everything. We say some silly things, and we say some profound things, and God knows what we're going to say before it comes out. God knows all and continues to love. Oh, God knows all and continues to love. How many of you here have something they're not proud of? How many wish you could have a redo on a few things? God knows, and he continues to love, because the only thing he can do with his creation is love them. And he chose you, and he chose me. He is a never let go God. Say that with me. Never let go God. When you are holding on by a thread, it's okay because he's got you in his big hand. He will never let you go. We went on vacation with my family once. A pastor handed me the key to his lake house and then handed us the key to the boat. And we've never had a boat. We were like real excited. And we met my sisters up there in Michigan and we were tubing. And so Tara and I was on the tube and we were telling, you know, my brother-in-law to go faster. I don't know what we were thinking. You know, we were married and had kids. We thought water did it hurt when you fell off. The bruises the next day told us. So we were telling him to drive faster, and we would go this way, and Tara's stronger than me, and she would hold on. And then we'd go this way, and she'd go, hold on, Ton, hold on. I'm like, I got us. We'd get back up on the tube. Same thing. I'm like, I can do it this time, Tara. We'd go her direction. She could hold both of us. We'd go my direction. I've got it. I've got it. And then I'd say, I don't have it. I couldn't hold on to her. There is never going to be a wave or a curve that God throws your way that he can't hold on to you. It's going to bump and it's going to knock you sometimes right off that tube. But he will never let go. God knows what we need. In the Old Testament, it means your hand upon. It means to bestow a blessing or to offer protection. I'm with you and I'm here to help. Raise your hand if you have children. Raise your hand if you have more than one child. Raise your hand if they are exactly alike. It's tough. You have the first one and you think, oh, I've got this. Then you have a next one. They're totally different, right? And so for some reason, I thought if I had a girl, she looked like me, she'd be like me. Oh my, was I mistaken? If I have a feeling, I'll say, this is how I feel. She doesn't say, this is how I feel. I had to figure it out how she felt. I didn't know how to do that. So I discovered when she was little, because I love her to pieces, even though she was complex, I decided if we had a tea party, she loves like dress up and make believe, she would tell me, she would talk to me. So we would have tea parties, and she would tell me how she felt. Because I didn't know how she felt. Now, the boys, I just say, how do you feel? And they tell me. But I was going to do everything I could to know what she needed. Folks, God doesn't have to have a tea party with us because he's our creator, and he already knows all that. I want to read to you verse 7 through 12 now from Psalm 139. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You see, David wasn't saying, if I go here or if I go there. He wasn't desiring to be away from God. What he was saying is, there isn't any place I can go that you are not. I can't go out of your reach. And you know, some people go try to be out of everybody's reach when they need that space. You're never out of God's reach. He always can get you and bring you back where you need. He fills heaven and earth. He cannot be contained. I love the song that says, I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. You know, we took a cruise a few years ago, the first time, We're in the middle of the ocean. You can see nothing, no lights other than the moon, no land. And I remember thinking, woe is me. I am just so minute compared to God's vast creation. And then I said, if I fall off, Jim, will you send someone to get me? It was kind of scary. It's mind-blowing, our earth and our universe and our solar system, and yet God cares about us. We cannot be removed ever from the presence of the Almighty God. Verse 13 through 16 says, for you created, I love this part, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Do you know that in one square inch of skin, we have 20 blood vessels, 65 muscles, 78 nerves, 78 sensors for heat, 13 for cold, 160 for pressure. We have 650 sweat glands. We have 1,300 nerve endings. We have 19,500 cells. And if you're lucky enough to live 70 years, your brain would have stored 100 trillion bits of information, serviced by 45 miles of nerves, and sent impulses at 325 miles per hour. That says to me, whatever you bring to our Almighty Creator, He can handle it. And He is someone that we can trust, because He knows us. I believe that grace is grace, but I believe He knows exactly what we need as an individual. And I just believe He is that personal and that wonderful. Verses 17 through 18, to close this scripture out. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I'm awake, I am still with you. Fellowship with God provides richness beyond comprehension. I don't know what a person does when they go to bed at night in this mixed up world, and they aren't able to say, talk to God. God, thank you. Or God, this is what I need. Or God, I'm hurting. He wants to walk with us every day. He knows us through and through. He just wants to be in relationship with us. Back when the census were taken by phone calls, a census worker called a woman and she said, how many children do you have? And she said, well, I have Mark. Oh, and Mark is such a wonderful man. He works so hard and he's just been such a great kid. And she said, then I have Susie. Oh, is Susie sweet? And he said, ma'am, I don't want to know about your children. I want to know how many children you have. She said, well, you're not getting that number until you listen to about my children. Don't you love that? You will never be a number to God. My uncle used to sing this song when he was on the cross I was on his mind. And I'm telling you, I believed that from the 10 years old. And I used to picture Jesus thinking about little old me. Isn't that amazing? The next time you have a lot of doubts, does anybody care? You think of when Jesus was given everything that he had, he was thinking about you. Bonnie, he was thinking about your pain today when he was on the cross and he was making a way. 2 Timothy 2:19, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his." Say that with me. The Lord knows those who are his. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. If you give me a baby, I'm going to sing to the baby, and I'm going to rock that baby. I love to sing over a baby. Sometimes we just need to picture ourselves being cradled. And God is saying, shh, I've got you. I'm going to sing over you. And whether this turns out how you want it to turn out or how you don't want it to turn out, I've still got you. Let's trust in an almighty creator who loves you. Let us pray. God, I am so grateful for how you love us. Oh, I'm so grateful that you are a personal God. Thank you that all of our days were numbered and all of our days were ordained before one of them came to be. God, remind us of that when we feel alone, when we're hurting, when we feel like no one's there. You remind us, before the foundation of the world, you knew us and you loved us, and you will continue until we walk into your arms. Praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.